I want to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Titus, the second chapter. And in the second chapter of Titus, we will be looking at the first 5 to 7 verses there that simply help us to understand how God puts order in society, and he uses two people that are very important, dad and mom. Now, let me say to you that we are living in a very, very strange time. We're living in a time where motherhood is under attack, and we're talking about, rather than Mother's Day, birthing person's day. You talk about foolishness. That's just crazy, okay? Because the birthing person in your home is going to be a mom when that birth takes place. But understand that we're trying to say, well, we don't know what a woman is politically. I'm thinking, are we idiots? Folks, we just simply need to take God at his word. Let him set us free. Because our society is teaching us lies, one after another. What we need to do is find the truth of the living God. And so today I want to talk about mothers and their being the centerpiece of what God has placed in the home. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. It says, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men, be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith and in love and in perseverance. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the younger women," the childbearing women, all right? "The younger women to love their husbands, to love the children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of deeds with purity and doctrine dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us." Who's the us? Christians, children of God. So he's talking about the fact that there is to be a distinctive difference between those who are named as Christians and those who don't know Christ. And when we think about this, we want to see that that even as I read this today and I talk about women being subject to their own husbands, in our society that's shocking, but not in the economy of God. Because in the economy of God, when you read what God says and do it, you're going to find out it works. You're also going to find out it blesses you when you do what God says to do. Now, when you try to do it your own way, you may think that you're really smart and you may think I've got a better way, but I've got news for you. Thousands of years of history have proven that to be wrong. And what we need to understand is that when God sets things in order, it will work perfectly. Now, will we be perfect? No, we come to it with a burden of sin. We have the issues that mark every one of us. We're all broken. But folks, that's why we have a Savior. And Jesus heals the broken. Jesus is the one who puts us back together. And when we find His order, we find that it will bring the kind of thing to your home that you are desiring to see. And when the society says, oh no, you can't do it that way, forget what society says and hear what God says. Now, it's also shocking when you read down here, it talks about the older women teach the younger women to be keepers at home. Now, understand this. This is not the idea of some kind of subservience that she can't work outside the home or anything like that, but it does mean that she is in charge of that realm when dad is off working somewhere or fighting a war or whatever might be the case that men are involved in. She has that home as her domain. She has that place where she can express the things of God to the next generation. When we read these things, though it may be shocking to us, it has to be something that we are are saying, okay, Lord, I'm not used to this, but I'm going to get used to it. I don't understand how to do this, but Lord, you can help me. Now hear me on that. God wants us to do, to live out His Word in a way that will bless us more than we can imagine. You know, when we think about this, the home reflects the plan of God. Marriage was instituted by God. It was something that He has defined, and though our courts in this land have defined it as something other than what it is, God's Word still says it's a man and a woman joined together. And they are joined together in order that they might show forth the praises of God. In fact, the Apostle Paul uses it in the book of Ephesians to show the relationship of Christ and His church. Christ is far superior to His church, but let me just say to you that he says that the home is a reflection of Christ and His church. Does Christ love His church? You better know He does. And He will fight for His church. And if you fight with His church, I've got news for you. You're going to lose. Because you're taking on Christ. So when we think about this, marital faithfulness always reflects God's relationship with His people. You see, when we have the proper understanding, and when we adopt what God says, and when we live that out, it is so contrary to what's going on in our world that suddenly it's shocking to them. And they say, how can I get in on that? You see, when we, the children of God, live out the promises of God, and we understand what God says to do and do it, it is so contrary to the rest of the world, then they're saying, how do they have peace? And I don't. How do they have blessings in their home? And we don't. You see, order in the home is something that God has commanded. It's not something that's happened by patriarchal fiat. You know, there are a lot of people who think, well, you know, I don't like Christianity or Judaism or these kind of things because it's patriarchal. Well, there is a Father, and He's in heaven. And we need to understand that when God sets things in order, it's not in order that men might benefit more than women. Now, there are religions where that takes place. We have great cults in our country where that are the largest one in our country is set up that way. Let me help you with something. When we look at what God sets as His order, He sets it so that we might have some boundaries. That's what's so lacking in our world today, are proper boundaries. Now, when a lot of people see boundaries, they see it like prison bars. Yeah, I'm bound by all of these things, and can I tell you, it's more like a channel for a river. Now, right now, up at Miami, we're getting all the flooding from Kansas and, you know, and over the Spring River, they're getting it all from Missouri. And it's all coming right down here, and you're watching it as your lake rises. But when those things are in their normal boundaries, they're powerful. Do you know you get your energy from a hydroelectric plant that comes from the ability for us to channel the energy that comes when things go through the right channels? May I say to you that we tap into the power of God when we follow the boundaries, the channels that He has set in place, and we find not only the power of God, but the blessing of light. And so as we look at this, we see in Scripture that there have been lots of mothers, okay? And not all of them were good. You know, I really feel sorry for people who have not had a good experience with their mother. I've had a wonderful experience with my mother. I've had wonderful experiences with my children who are mothers. It's a blessing to watch my wife as she has done an amazing job. You know, one of the hardest jobs in a church is the pastor's wife. Okay, Because there are lots of people who, man, they've got opinions about everything. I tell people opinions are kind of like armpit. Everybody's got a couple of them, and some of them don't smell so good, you know. But you see, when it comes to the whole idea of who they share that with, they oftentimes go to that wife and tell her things that she, you know, they want her to say it to him and all that kind of stuff. That's so ignorant. Don't do it. Now, I know right now your pastor has just taken another pastorate, and I'm going to talk about that in a little while, okay? In fact, right before I close the service today, I'm going to move away from Mother's Day message and simply talk to us as a church for just a few minutes. But when we look at the mothers in Scripture, there were some that were tragically poor mothers. Now, the very first mother in Scripture is the mother of all living. We call her Eve. But because of a poor decision and being deceived by the devil, she helped plunge all of humanity into sin. You know, we move on into Scripture and we see other mothers who were famous. There was Queen Adaliah, and she was a terrible, terrible example of a mother. Or we see Queen Jezebel, Ahab's wife, and she was a terrible, terrible mother. And you saw it in their children, because when those children were raised up, they were raised up with anything but an orientation to serve God. In fact, they helped lead the nation away from God. Now, right now, I look around in our country and I think, man, I hope a lot of mothers are not like this one or that one or this one or that one, because the influence will be tragic. But then we read about others, mothers like Sarah, who longed for a child. And finally that promised child came. Now, did she make some mistakes along the way? Yes, she did. Can I tell you, moms, you're not ever going to be perfect, okay? None of us are. By the way, dads aren't either, okay? So I'm not just picking on moms, all right? But hear me on this. Sarah was referred to later in the book of Hebrews as a woman of great faith. And then we see Hannah. Who was Hannah? Well, she was Samuel's mother. And she was also barren, and she was praying before the Lord and just pouring out her heart and saying, Lord, would you please give me a child? Would you please give me a child? Some of you know that longing. Some of you know the waiting. Some of you know the heartache of not having what you really desire. Hannah knew that. And she prayed, and finally the Lord answered her prayer, and she said, Lord, if you'll give me this child, I will devote him to you for service for the rest of his life. And folks, that's exactly what happened. When Samuel came along, he became a mighty prophet of the Lord. He was used of God to anoint kings or to help others to see, you're not the one. But nevertheless, Hannah was a great mother. Or we move on into Scripture and we see another one by the name of Jochebed. Now, that name is a strange name, but she had a famous son that you would know of as Moses. Now, realize that she had a unique situation because, you see, they were in Egypt in slavery, and the Pharaoh had just said, let's kill all the male children. And they told all the midwives, if a male child comes out, kill it. And a whole lot of them did it, but there were a couple that didn't. And one of them that didn't delivered Moses. And when Moses got up to the age where he couldn't be hidden any longer, they took him and put him in the bulrushes. You remember that? Made a little ark and pitched it with tar on the outside, and so he wouldn't drown there in the bulrushes. And when he started crying, There happened to be a young lady there getting ready to take a bath, and that was Pharaoh's daughter. Well, God set all the circumstances in place that Moses' sister was there, and she says to Pharaoh's daughter, "Would you like me to go get one of the Hebrew mothers to nurse this child?" You know who she got? His own mother. Now, she only had him for a while, because he was going to be raised in Pharaoh's house, and she had to really economize the time that she had, and so she took that time and invested it in a little child, telling him, "You are not like the Egyptians. You are of the people of Israel, the people of God." And she taught him all of these things to where, when the time came, he went into Pharaoh's home, but he was always understanding, "I have a heritage of faith. I belong to the people of God." And later he will become the deliverer who will take them out of 400 years of slavery and cross the Red Sea, take them into the wilderness, help them find the manna and the water from the rock. He will be the one who brings down the tablets of stone. He will be a great deliverer. Why? Because Jochebed was a mother of faith. She set the direction of that child's life. And she did it before he was 5 years old. Can I tell you? The Catholics used to say, "You give us a child until he's 7 years old and he'll always be a Catholic." And that's proven quite true, because they understood the power of reaching children. Our problem today is we think, well, we've got to let children just do their own thing and come up on their own, and one of these days, after they've learned to spread their wild oats and all that kind of stuff, well, they might come back to God. Don't you bet on it. Because, folks, if you haven't invested in them in the youngest ages, and, you know, my children have heard me when they have newborn babies, I'll be in there rocking the baby or talking to the baby, and I'll be talking to them about the day when Jesus will open their heart. And one of these days when that time comes, you're going to want to respond to Jesus and ask him to be your Savior. Because I want my grandchildren, and by the way, you're not done parenting when you stop raising your children, because the Bible talks about your children's children. And so it's very important for the older people to see we still have responsibility to guide a family. We're still doing it, by the way, okay? And I'm not trying to tell them, you know, everything that they need to do. They're adults. They're doing a lot of things. But when there are some things that, boy, they need some correction on, we're going to have a little talk and sit down and say, you know, there's more to this than what you want right now. Because you have the next generation growing up in your home. One of the reasons that I appreciate discipline was it was administered to me regularly, okay? And because it was administered to me regularly, I understood that they loved me even when it didn't feel good, okay? And I tell my kids, I said, you want to discipline your children so that you're not raising criminals in your home. Okay? Because they can live in the best homes of all and still go way off the rails. But hear me, they're less likely to if mom will take that time like Jochebed did. In those earliest days, investing in the next generation. Years ago, I was serving in Oklahoma City at Classen Boulevard Baptist Church, and we had an African-American deacon that was a dear friend, and he said, "Steve, I want you to go with me sometime over here to a preacher school." And I said, "Boy, that'd be great. I'd like to go." And so we went over to the northeast side, and I was the only white man there, okay? All black preachers. And every week, Dean Callender, who was about a 90-year-old teacher, preacher's teacher, okay, he was teaching young men how to lead churches and how to prepare messages. And every week, he would assign a topic. And I remember there was a young preacher by the name of Terry Turner. Now he pastors in Dallas at a big church down there, but Terry was still not pastoring yet. And Dean Callender, the week before, had given him the subject of God's hired nurse. Now, he didn't give him any scripture. He said, I want you to find it in the scripture, and I want you to bring a message next week. Three preachers would preach every week, and all the others would critique them. And so that night, Terry preached on God's hired nurse. And I'll never forget, he said, you know, in our society, we have LPNs. He said, that'd be a licensed practical nurse. We have RNs. That'd be a registered nurse. He said, we have CNAs, and to all these different alphabet soup that's in the medical community. And finally, he says, but I'm going to talk to you about a GHN. That would be God's hired nurse. And then he turned us to the book of Exodus, and he told about Moses, and he showed how that Jochebed, the mother of faith, had invested in that boy. And that boy became a deliverer because mama made a difference as God's hired nurse. We also read about another mother, and she was a very young woman at the time when the angel came to her and said, you're going to have a child, and he's going to be of the Holy Spirit. And we know her as Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, how would you have liked to have been one of the younger brothers or sisters of Jesus? And by the way, he had several, okay? I mean, why can't you be like your older brother? How can you be God? Okay, but nevertheless, Mary raised up some wonderful people of faith. We know a couple of them besides Jesus. You ever heard of the book of Jude? That was one of her kids. You ever heard of the book of James? That's one of her kids. You see, Mary did a dynamite job raising children. And the whole world has benefited. Can I tell you something, folks? We never know just how important it is that we are to do, we're doing what God has called us to do. But when we do it, God has the ability to change the future. God help us, we need that. We need it now. You know, there have been some pretty dynamic mothers in history as well. I think back to a lady by the name of Susanna Wesley. She was the wife of Samuel Wesley. They had 19 children. 9 of them died in infancy. But 10 of them lived. And all 10 of them were great Christian leaders. Let me name 2 of them. Charles Wesley. If you were to open a hymnal, I know we don't use them much anymore, but in your hymnal, there are lots of songs by Charles Wesley. Now, Susanna Wesley had some rules for raising children. You had to have a little bit of order when you had 19 of them, you know. But she said, you know, supper's at this time, you will be there and you won't complain. You'll eat what's there or you won't eat. When it's over with, We will do our devotions, we will do this, we'll do that. And she had order that she helped establish in that home. And then she had another son. His name was John Wesley. Anybody here have a Methodist background or Nazarene or Pentecostal or anything like that? Let me just tell you, John Wesley was the father of the holiness movement, which brought about Methodism. That was taken from methods that John lived by when he was going to Oxford University, and they had a holy club, and they taught people how to have order in their life. Where did he learn that? Back there under Susanna Wesley, his mama. And a whole denomination of people, the Methodists, came. And out of them came the Nazarenes, and out of them came the holiness and Pentecostal. Let me just tell you, they made a difference in this world way beyond their time. In fact, you're still encountering their influence. What about a lady by the name of Ruth, who was married to a man by the name of Billy Graham? Now, they had four children, I believe it was. And when you look at their lives, there was a time where Franklin Graham kind of went off the rails, but boy, he's back now, full steam, serving Jesus, leading Samaritan's Purse, affecting the world. Thank God for that. Do y'all ever do the shoeboxes at Christmas, the Operation Christmas Child and all of that? That's a part of Samaritan's Purse ministry. Right now, they're in Ukraine. They've been, you know, when we had our Joplin tornado so many years ago, the Samaritan's Purse came there with disaster relief in big ways. I'm sure they're down in Seminole right now and other places. Let me just tell you, they are making a difference, and that's the kids of Billy and Ruth. And they have one daughter by the name of Ann Graham Lutz, and she has great influence in women's ministry. Let me just say to you, it's affecting generations as we speak. One of their children runs the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and it still exists up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. But they are taking the gospel to the world. Now, realize this. Most of the time, Billy Graham was not at home, okay? That means that there had to be a lot of influence by Ruth for those kids to turn out like that. I think of one other that I know real well. I'm going to see her a little while over the memory care unit where she is in Neosho. I call her mom. Her name is Ollie Patterson. You know, she didn't have an easy road. She grew up in a home that was, well, it was not a faith-filled home at best. But she got saved when she was 17 years old. And then she married a man who became my father. And he said, "Boy, if you'll go to a Baptist church, I'll go with you." Now, she was holiness, and she said, "Well, I'll do that." So she went to a Baptist church. He didn't. In fact, he didn't get saved till I was 42 years old. Now, I love my dad. He's a great man, and I thank God for those last 19 years of his life where he really did serve Jesus. But that wasn't always true. But what was always true was there was a faithful woman in that home. You see, everything doesn't have to be perfect for there to be influence. My mom raised my older sister, who was from birth mentally handicapped. Raised her till she passed away at age 63. That wasn't an easy life. You know, I'll never forget the day I'd come home. I used to pastor down in Lindsay, Oklahoma, and I was driving back up to Carl Junction where my parents lived, and it was Thanksgiving time or Christmas or one of those holidays, and Mom was in the kitchen and she was working, and she asked me to come in there. Now, I knew something was up when she did that because I'm not a cook. And she said, "Could I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure." She said, "Do you think that Linda is mentally handicapped because of something I did or something your dad did?" I said, "Oh, Mama, haven't you read, I know you have, in Matthew chapter 9, of the man who was born blind? And the same question was asked, who sinned, him or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither, but that the works of God would be made manifest in him. I've watched as God took that mentally retarded girl and affected my dad, affected my grandpa, affected my uncle, affected me, affected my brothers. And let me just say to you, she was very, very meaningful in our lives as a mentally retarded girl. I used to love to call Mom and Linda, and when I had a prayer need. It's kind of hard now. Mom's in a memory care unit, and she can't really kind of put it all together anymore. But Mom and Linda, when I would call them, they'd hit their knees and they'd pray. Man, you never heard anybody pray till you hear somebody who's simple in their mind, but powerful in the hand of God. Yeah, God blessed us with her. I can't wait to see her normal when I get to heaven. Just can't wait to see, because she was awesome as a mentally retarded girl. But then the Lord put his hand upon me and he said, Steve, I want you to preach the gospel. And folks, I just retired from 48 years of pastoring and directors of mission and all of those kinds of things. I'm not done preaching, okay? I'm going to preach till Jesus takes me home or until I can't do it anymore. But I want you to hear me. I'm doing that in an answer to God that was facilitated by a mama that prayed. I have a younger brother 10 years younger and another brother 13 years younger than me. It was like two different families. I left home when my younger brother was 5 years old, so I was more like an uncle than a brother to him. But I watched as Mom helped to lead each one of them to Christ. And finally Dad, and her dad, and her uncle, and they were alcoholics and all kinds of them, and God brought them out. Why? Because Mom made a difference. See, it really doesn't matter whether somebody's a preacher or a president or anything like that. I remember growing up in around Joplin and Carl Junction, that area. I remember a lot about Harry Truman, who had been our president many, many years ago. Not in my memory, but I remember that he was. And I read a lot of things about him. And I read something his mother said one day. Someone asked her, aren't you proud of your son who's the president? And she said, yes, I am. I'm very proud of him. And I'm also proud of that boy out there on the tractor plowing in the field. And I'm also proud of that shopkeeper down here. That she was just as proud of them as she was the one who became the president of the United States. Let me just tell you, a mom understands that. Because she knows I've invested in more than one. I've invested in all of them. You know, whole societies have been changed for good or for evil, according to what Mom has had to say. So I want to say to you today, I don't know where you are, whether you are here as a believer or as somebody who has not yet believed. But I want you to hear me. The message of the gospel is for everyone. It's for anyone that hears the gospel and is pricked in their heart to say, I need that. I need Jesus in my life. I need to have guidance that God could give. Let me tell you, you won't get it on your own. You'll only get it by a faith relationship with Jesus. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn, and during that time there will be opportunities if you would like to visit with someone, or if you want to come up afterwards and say, Pastor, I'd like to know about a relationship with God. We'd love to share with you. Some of the elders of the church would be glad to do that. Your staff, Tyson or TJ, would be glad to do that. It's important to know that there is a way to express your faith. And so as we come to this time, TJ, you want to come and lead us in that hymn. And then I want to take just a moment afterwards to talk to you about some practical things as a church.